I think what the Bible says now. Deuteronomy 6:16. It says, do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massa. Well, what happened at Massa? Well, of course you know. Massa is where the Israelites were given manna. Mm-hmm. And they're like, is this it? They started to complain. You ever start to complain with life?
Yeah.
You ever start to grumble and complain?
Yeah.
And God said, oh, I'm bringing food from the heavens for you to eat. And you want to complain and whine? Okay. And you know what happened next, right? Whenever you start to complain and whine and grumble, whenever you start to do that in your heart and stop getting grateful, guess what happens?
Yeah.
You start looking at that line of sin. You start thinking, I don't know, maybe my salvation and being part of the kingdom is not enough. Maybe I should go back to the world and see what I can get there. Mm-hmm. And now you start testing. You start allowing people to look at you. You start allowing yourself, your character starts to go down. Are you here now?
Yeah.
Guys, you got to watch it. You got to be grateful for what God has given us. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, out of these three, which one are you? Because the Bible reads, go back to Luke, look what happens next. Because you think, oh, okay, well, Jesus got him the testing, right? So now he's good to go. Look what the Bible says next. Verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he went home and left Jesus alone. No, what does it say? He left him until an opportune time. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the devil is. He's coming back. But the thing is, if we walk in step with the Spirit and obey the word of God, we're good to go.
Yeah.
That's the good news, man. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so, in the same way, Jesus was the Messiah, but he was a mortal Messiah, just like us.
Yeah.
He got weak, just like us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, this is the answer. This is the secret to beating Satan's temptations. Responding with scripture. Do you know your Bible?
Come on.
First principles class, entrepreneurship this class, Wednesday night. Guys, I'm very proud of you. You've been doing a very good job.
Okay.
You're studying hard, doing well in your exam. I'm very proud of you. If you're a great student, trust me, you can sit down with people in this room and they can teach you the Bible.
Okay.
And we're all united in what we believe and have deep convictions.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Come on.
Jesus overcame all temptations, was victorious over Satan, and we can too. Amen, Valerie?
Yeah.
Okay, second point. The radical revolutionary. The radical revolutionary. Let's take a look at what Jesus did next. You know, sometimes people think Jesus, you know, you ever heard that quote, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
The point of it is that if you don't start something, right, nothing will pop off, right?
Right.
But Jesus was a revolutionary. Jesus wanted to stir things up.
Wow.
Jesus was not some like,
Amen.
That's not Jesus.
Right.
Jesus was stirring things up. Take a look here at what happened in Luke 4. Verse 14. The Bible reads, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught the synagogue, and everyone praised him. Okay, well, that's good news. This is essentially the devil's advantage here. He's teaching in the synagogue. Now remember, the synagogue system began during the Babylonian exile because the temple was torn down. Right? Now, what's interesting is, the Galilean ministry. What's interesting about this is that the synagogue system began because the whole Babylonian exile, the temple's torn down. And so each synagogue actually faced toward Jerusalem. Right? So they could remember the temple. Right? And it's interesting. The men sat on one side, and the women sat on the other side. That's what happened in synagogues back in the whole Jewish system, right? And so what that represented was an equal, that both men and women were equal heirs to God. Is that awesome right there?
Mm-hmm.
That's encouraging.
Right.
Because, you know, in culture today, sometimes it's like, even though women understand that their role may be different, is to submit to the husband, amen?
Amen.
Amen. that doesn't mean you're any less precious.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
That is awesome. We need to have a powerful women's ministry in the church. Amen. The women don't lead the men. The women can lead the sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But God, you got to be careful, because sometimes men can end up being like Adam and let you lead them.
Come on.
That is one of the most main. I mean, that was really the first sin in the Bible. Men not leading.
Wow.
That's another
problem.
Come on, brother. Well, the Bible goes on. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of God that they was handed to him, unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to his hand, sat down, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All who opposed him, and they were amazed at the gracious word that came from his lips. "Is this Joseph's son?" they asked. Now, this is really cool, because of course Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61.
That's right.
Jesus was always preaching the word. He was the word. Amen?
Yeah.
He is the word. But what's really interesting is that the Bible says how gracious words came from his lips. Funny enough, he doesn't include what Isaiah 62 says. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, Jesus actually left out the last line for this purpose, which was actually condemning. In Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, the last line says, "To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God."
Yeah.
So he was just, you know, kind of encouraging right there. Right? But that's nice. But let's see what happens next. Verse 23. Jesus said, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. You hear in your hometown what we heard that you did at Capernaum.' I tell you the truth, he continues to me. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there was many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Okay, let's stop here.
All right.
Wow. What did Jesus just do? He started a apostle of it all.
He really did.
He's about to start something. What did he just start? What did he say? Right? He's saying here, Elijah was sent to a widow, in a Gentile area, this place called Sidon, right? Elisha was, Naaman the Syrian came to him, who was Naaman, and also a Gentile, right? And so what's interesting is that both of these Gentiles were able to be saved. This is huge, guys. So literally, and then he talks about the widow, not only was she a Gentile, she was a woman.
Right.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's saying that women are equal. Then he said, he started talking about Gentiles. So you can, not only are women are equal heirs of God, but that, hold on a second, Gentiles can be saved too?
Whoa.
Would you say that's a revolutionary message?
Yeah.
This is huge, man. So let's see how these upright religious people respond. Verse 28. All the people in the synagogue were what?
Furious
when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff.
Wow.
But he walked right in the crowd and went on his way.
Wow.
Got it. You know what? This is encouraging to me, because you don't have to be afraid. Nobody's going to touch you until you've completed your role. Okay, Jesus' revelation. I agree with you. You're not going to die until God's purpose for you has been fulfilled. I agree with you. Hey, it's so good to have Masope with us here today from the DPC area. God will set the time and this is huge. And so, persecution and death threats were, was this the end of Jesus' ministry or the beginning?
The beginning.
This is chapter 4. Jesus started his first sermon to the synagogue.
Wow.
And already, kids! I gotta ask you a question. Are you afraid of offending people? Because I think your definition of Christianity may never have led Jesus to the cross. Your definition of Christianity would not have led to that. Now don't get me wrong, we need to speak with love and with tact and with respect. 1 Peter 3:15.
Yeah.
But we need to preach the word of God.
Amen. That's right.
And when we now start to like not say things that need to be said because you're afraid of what people are going to say, you stop being a messenger. Mm-hmm. You stop being a vessel for God to speak through completely, and you now start, hold on a second, you now start filtering what God wants to say.
Wow.
Because in your mind, you think you know better.
Woo!
Wow. So, Kevin, you got to have some conviction. There are false doctrines today.
Yeah.
I hear them. There are people twisting the word of God today. For example, all you have to do is pray this prayer. You want to be saved? Do this. God, come into my life right now. Forgive me of my sins. Amen. Congratulations, you are now a Christian. We extend you the open arm of fellowship.
No,
I'm sorry. Can you please show me that scripture in the Bible? Show me where it says pray a prayer to be saved. Show me where it says pray a prayer to be saved. It is not there. What it does say in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. God sends them a powerful solution so they will believe the lie and that all be condemned will not believe. the truth, but I delighted in wickedness. Let me say something. It's really convicting because persecution is going to happen. If you're a Christian and you're not being persecuted, there's something a little wrong. There can be something a lot wrong. I'm not saying you got to go looking for persecution. But you know, when we're at the Domino's, you know, by the way, we meet Domino's Thursday, 7 p.m., the lucky phase, 1 to 2 p.m., or whatever. We've been getting drama, man. But we're like, we pay, we get our pizza, and we pay the money to be here. And we stood up to the managers, and now. But sometimes we're like, you want us to leave? What do you want? I pay for this food. I can't afford that. They like that. I pay $5 for this food, for this pizza, and the drinks, and all this food that I'm getting for our group. I pay for this. We're here for 1 hour and we leave. Back to your people. I see people sitting around here doing nothing. Yeah. Having business meetings. And you're coming over here trying to disturb and harass us. I'm a customer here. So, sorry. Stand up for yourself.
That's right.
Stop being cowardly. Yeah. You're a Christian. Act like one. Persecution is going to happen. I appreciate my brother Kip. You know, he used to tell us different things that's happened to him over the years. The mother of a disciple came to church with a gun in her hand. At a conference they had in Boston, there was a sniper in the audience. The father of the first disciple in Moscow to get converted. Remember, I told you, they went over there and had the Moscow mission team. I think they had something like 800 baptisms. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And in a year. It was like ridiculous. It was just totally gone. The father, who was the general of the first disciple in Moscow to be baptized, this woman, he threatened to kill him. A general's daughter threatened to kill him in Cairo. He was dead for 3 months.
Wow.
A bullet, and this happened recently, a bullet was put into the contribution at a service in our new movement.
Wow.
A far away kingdom kid threatened to kill him.
Wow.
Guys, I've had my persecution too bad. I haven't had any people try to kill me. I gotta raise it up and not I think growth, things will happen. But definitely, I kid you not. You know, right now we're small. I wait for the day when we're 3,000.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Amen.
But you know, family, you know, even recently, our dear brother Yoshioma was gone after.
Wow.
Gone after by false teachers. And the sad thing is, when I found out who the guy was, I'm like, this guy said, what? I have this guy in my house.
Wow.
He is biking over to our house. For a holiday event. I sat down with this guy. I was sharing my faith with him. He didn't share with me. I shared with him. And he did not answer my questions about the Holy Spirit. Right?
Wow.
And now Christ has now found out that Ishioma was going to God's church here. And now Christ would be a snake and weasel mouth.
Wow.
I pray for him. I was like, bro, is that God? I sent him a message saying, that's the guy. I just saw this guy getting a smoothie the other day. I was warm with him, shared with him, didn't say anything about negative or anything. Now all of a sudden, when he talks to one of the little lambs, oh, cold persecution, this issue. I'm like, my hands. People can be two-faced. You can be very two-faced. I tell you one thing, family, you have my heart. I'll tell you the truth. This is the way it is. You don't like it, but I'll tell you the truth. I'll show you the word of God. You don't have to worry about me being two-faced. You're ready to see my life.
Come on.
We're going out here together. Amen. I'm here, and I think my brother Ishioma taking a stand.
Very
nice. And now people read the internet and say, ah, oh, your church now is a call this, call that. You want to talk about those? You want to talk about those? Let's talk about some fraternities. And you, let's talk about some groups here. You want to talk about cults? We're calling people to obey the word of God, and I'm a cult. What a like children's acts.
Yeah.
So we go over to the cult of people going out and doing triple X parties over by or doing all this nonsense juju. Should we call that a cult too?
Yeah.
You should. You see, people will go online and read all this nonsense on the internet and they act as if it's true. I'm like, hold on a second. Have you ever been to a service? Have you ever met me or met him or sat down for coffee or even offered me anything? But now you're going to believe what someone wrote on the internet more than coming out of church and seeing it for yourself. How ignorant do you need to be? And how weak-willed do you need to be to believe something you don't even experience yourself?
Wow.
You see, that's the thing. God will make it clear who's strong, who's not.
Yeah.
Well done, Yeshua. He's ignorant, fearful, and weak people will fall prey to persecution.
That's
right. And I ask you again, 1 Timothy 3:12, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
That's right.
Turn. Don't let people speak it to you. And we're going to put that here in a second. What does the Bible say here? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. What does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Come on, talk over here. What does the Bible say? In fact. So what does in fact mean?
In fact.
Okay, let me get you one. In fact means in fact. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life. See, sometimes you just want to live a life. You don't actually want to live a godly life. Some people just want to be saved. They don't actually want to save others.
Yes. Yeah.
You got what I'm saying? These people who come baptized today are not just come to be saved. They come to save others.
Yes.
I am here. Yes. If you want to live a godly life, then that means you're going to have an impact in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And when you have an impact in other people's lives, some people are going to love you and some people are going to hate you.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
The Bible reads, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse.
Take care of the brother, innocent.
Good to see you. I'm coming for more. While evil men and apostles will go from bad to worse, deceiving and
being
deceived.
So why are people persecuted?
Because they're deceived.
Because they think that what they think is right is very sad. Are you living a godly life? If Jesus were to live your life, would he not persecuted to the point of going to the cross? Let's take a look and close out the last passage here. Go back to Luke 4. Family, it's time. It's time to get some persecution here in Lagos. But you know what the good news is? When you get persecution, you know what happens?
More people come.
Yeah.
What is that persecution? What is this?
My dear sister, what is going on here? People want to know what's causing all this stuff. I'll tell you one thing: Nigerians love gossip. What's going on? I want to know. They want to know. Let them know. And let them hear the word of God.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 4. That's what the Bible says here. You know, to be a disciple sometimes is a lonely life, and that's the last point. The lonely liberator. Luke 4, verse 31. That's what the Bible says here.
Come on, bro.
They went down to Capernaum, the town of Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had what?
Authority.
Do you believe with all your heart that you've been given authority by God to teach?
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to put into you for those who are doing the first principles class. Mm-hmm. We're trying to put authority into you. By knowing it and learning how to teach it, it gives you confidence and it gives you that authority of God. It goes on and says, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon and evil spirits. Now, that's interesting because that means that the demon was in the synagogue. The demon was in the church.
Wow.
I'm going to leave that one alone for another one.
Come on.
He was possessed by a demon and evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice. Ha! Somebody else Bible puts that into. Ha! What do you want with us? Jesus of Nazareth. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, she says to her. Come on! Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All people were amazed and said to each other, what is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out! And the news about it spread throughout the surrounding area. Okay, let's stop here. Jesus is now focused on one man with an evil spirit. And I think in a lot of ways, family, I believe with all my heart, I felt this evil spirit scared me.
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart. You know why? There are people that are tormented by demons of lust, pride, deceit, anger, greed. You're dealing with stuff that's
starting.
Amen? And it's the Word of God that drives demons up.
Yeah.
I don't claim to be awesome. I'm just an effective teacher with the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? I always wondered, why did Jesus always say, be quiet, when he talked to the demons? Do you ever wonder why he did that? He does that often.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder why he did that? Like, why would he tell the demon to be quiet? Right? Check this out. He tells the demons to be quiet because Jews considered everything that demons said to be a lie. So, it's interesting because they thought, if the demon is talking, he's lying. So, if the demon said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God, people think, maybe he's not. Maybe he is from Satan. You get what I'm saying here?
Wow.
Be quiet! Right? He's rebuking them for that and for that, right?
Wow.
He taught with authority and power. You know, a lot of people come up here and they're better speakers than I am. They've done a whole bunch of things, spoken to 10,000, 1,000. But at the end of the day, Jesus spoke with authority and power and integrity.
Amen.
Anyone who comes up here and doesn't share their life, does it share their weaknesses, their sins? You know, I appreciated even Tony coming up here and saying, listen, God forgive us for my lust, my pride, my deceit, my anger. Church, you know I confess my sins every week to you.
Come on.
But at the same time, you got to speak with power.
Yeah,
you got to speak with authority. You got to call people to go do something. Very often, ministers will not tell people what they need to do because they're afraid that when contribution time will come, they don't want to give.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me just let you know. This is not my church. I tell them, this is not my church. I don't get paid from this church. Just in case you're wondering. No. I get paid from a missionary fund, which means that guess what? It doesn't matter to me whether what you do. That's between you and God.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What you give doesn't concern you. It concerns you, though.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you want the church to be built and to do great things, then your investment will be shown for what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Come on, bro.
But there's a quote by President Lincoln. He said he went to go hear this sermon by his dad, Dr. Gurley. And his secret agent comes up to him and says, President Lincoln, what did you think of the sermon? And Lincoln says, you know, it was thought provoking. It was powerfully delivered. But it failed. It failed to ask anything greater of me.
Whoa.
You see, a lot of people say, oh, prosperity is life, it's not life to the fullest. But they don't challenge you to repent. Right?
Yeah.
They don't challenge you to live a holy life. They don't ask you to do anything great. They just want to tell you how much money you can get if you give money to the place.
Yeah.
I live in here now.
Right.
And so we got to have deep convictions. We got to make sure that we take a stand for the truth. You know, take a look around Matthew 15 with me. And then we'll close that back in a minute. This is a scripture that really helped me a lot when it came time to deal with people. Take a look what the Bible says here in Matthew 15.
Come on, bro.
Matthew 15 is starting verse 7. What does Jesus say here? Matthew 15, is everyone on there?
Yep.
Have I lost you? Are you too tired?
No,
remember now, all those Bible talks went, so I had to make sure I got my time.
Come on.
Matthew 15, verse 7 says, you hypocrites!
Yeah.
Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in.
Yeah.
They see their teachings are rules taught by men.
Yeah.
Praying things into your heart, miraculous, all that stuff, that's teaching by manifest. Mm-hmm. And people love it.
Yeah,
it goes down in verse 12, look what it says next. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? You know, some of you are like, did you know that guy in the back is offended when you said that? Let's see what Jesus says next. Let's see what the Bible says now. Deuteronomy 6:16. It says, do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massa. Well, what happened at Massa? Well, of course we know. Massa is where the Israelites were given manna.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, is this it? They started to complain. You ever start to complain with life?
Yeah.
You ever start to grumble and complain?
Yeah.
And God said, oh, I'm bringing food from the heavens for you to eat. And you want to complain and whine? Okay. And you know what happened next, right? Whenever you start to complain and whine and grumble, whenever you start to do that in your heart and stop getting grateful, guess what happens?
Yeah.
You start looking at that line of sin. You start thinking, I don't know. Maybe my salvation and being part of the kingdom is not enough. Maybe I should go back to the world and see what I can get there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you start testing. You start allowing people to look at you. You start allowing yourself, your character starts to go down. Are you with me here now?
Yeah.
Guys, you gotta watch it. You gotta be grateful for what God has given us. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, out of these three, which one are you?
Mama.
Because the Bible reads, go back to Luke, look what happens next. Because you think, oh, okay, well, Jesus got into testing, right? So now he's good to go. Look what the Bible says next. Verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he went home and left Jesus alone.
Oh,
no. No, what does it say? He left him until an opportune time. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they have to do. He's coming back. But the good news is if we walk in step with the Spirit and obey the word of God, we're good to go.
Yeah.
That's the good news, man. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And so, in the same way, Jesus was the Messiah when he was a mortal Messiah, just like us.
Yeah.
He got weak just like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the answer. This is the secret to beating Satan's temptations. Responding with scripture. Do you know your Bible?
Come on.
First principles class, entrepreneur class, Wednesday nights. Guys, I'm very proud of you. Mm-hmm. You've been doing a very good job.
Okay.
You're studying hard to as well as you're now. I'm very proud of you. If you're a good man, trust me, you can sit down with people in this room and they can teach you the Bible.
Okay.
And we're all united in what we believe and have deep convictions.
Mm-hmm.
It is awesome.
Come on.
Jesus overcame all temptations, was victorious over Satan, and we can too. Amen, Belly?
Yeah.
Okay, second point. The radical revolutionary. The radical revolutionary. Let's take a look at what Jesus did next. You know, sometimes people think Jesus, you know, you ever heard that quote, don't start no stuff, don't be no stuff?
Yeah.
Right? The point of it is that if you don't start something, right, nothing will fall off, right?
Right.
But Jesus was a revolutionary. Jesus wanted to stir things up.
Wow.
Jesus was not some like, that's not Jesus.
Right.
Jesus was stirring things up. Take a look here at what happened in Luke 4. Verse 14. The Bible reads, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught the synagogue, and everyone praised him. Okay, well, that's good news. This is essentially to the devil's advantage here. He's teaching in the synagogue. Now remember, the synagogue system began during the Babylonian exile because the temple was torn down. Right? Now, what's interesting is, the Galilean ministry. What's interesting about this is that the synagogue system began because the whole Babylonian exile, the temple's torn down. And so each synagogue actually faced toward Jerusalem. Right? So they could remember the temple. Right? And it's interesting. The men sat on one side, and the women sat on the other side. That's what happened in synagogues back in the whole Jewish system. Right? And so what that represented was an equal, that both men and women were equal heirs to God. Is that awesome right there?
Mm-hmm.
That's encouraging.
Right.
Because then, you know, in culture today, sometimes it's like, even though women understand that their role may be different, is to submit to the husband, amen?
Amen.
That doesn't mean they're any less precious.
Amen.
I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
That is awesome. We need to have a powerful woman's ministry in the church. Amen. The women don't lead the men. The women can lead the sisters. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But God, you've got to be careful because sometimes men can end up being like Adam and let you lead them.
Come on.
That is one of the most changed. I mean, that was really the first sin in the Bible. Men not leading.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's a whole other topic.
Come on,
man. Well, the Bible goes on. Let me read it. It says in verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue and was accustomed. He stood up to read. The scroll brought out of Isaiah's hand to him. Unrolling it, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to his hand, sat down, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All who opposed him and were amazed at the gracious word that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Now, this is really cool because, of course, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61.
That's right.
Jesus was always preaching the word. He was the word. Amen?
Yeah.
He is the word. But what's really interesting is that the Bible says how gracious words came from his lips. Funny enough, he doesn't include what Isaiah 62 says. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, Jesus actually left out the last line for this purpose, which was actually condemning. In Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, the last line says, "To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God."
Wow.
So he was just, you know, kind of being encouraging right there. Right? That's nice. But let's see what happens next. Verse 23. Jesus said, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Do you hear in your hometown what we heard that you did at Capernaum?" I tell you the truth here, he continues. "No prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there was many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Okay, let's stop here.
All right.
Wow. What did Jesus just do? He started to pop something off.
He really did.
He's about to start something. What did he just start? What did he say? Right? He's saying here, Elijah was sent to a widow, was sent to a widow in a Gentile area, this place called Sidon, right? Elijah was, well, Naaman the Syrian came to him. Who was Naaman? And also a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so what's interesting is that both of these Gentiles were able to be saved. This is huge, guys. So literally, and then he talks about the widow, not only was she a Gentile, she was a woman.
Right.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's saying that women are equal. Then he said, he starts talking about Gentiles. So you can, not only are women are equal heirs of God, but that, hold on a second, Gentiles can be saved too? Whoa. Would you say that's a revolutionary message?
Yeah.
This is huge, then. So let's see how these upright religious people respond. Verse 28. All the people that sit down were what?
Furious
when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff.
Wow.
But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
Come on.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. You know what? This is encouraging to me because you don't have to be afraid. Nobody's going to touch you until you've completed your role in Jesus' revolution. I agree with you. You're not going to die until God's purpose for you has been fulfilled. I agree with you. And it's so good to have Matope with us here today in the DPC area. I mean, if the woman here Right. We're very honored to have you here with us today.
Yeah.
Amen?
Guys, this is huge. And so, persecution and death threats were, was this the end of Jesus' ministry or the beginning?
This is chapter 4. He just started his first sermon to the synagogue.
Wow.
And already, kidding! I gotta ask you a question. Are you afraid of offending people? Because I think your definition of Christianity may never have led Jesus to the cross. Your definition of Christianity would not have led to that. Now don't get me wrong, we need to speak with love and with tact and with respect. 1 Peter 3:15.
Yeah.
But we need to preach the word of God.
Amen. That's right.
And when we now start to like not say things that need to be said because you're afraid of what people are going to say, you stop being a messenger. Mm-hmm. You stop being a vessel for God to speak through completely, and you now start, hold on a second, you now start filtering what God wants to say.
Wow.
Because in your mind, you think you know better.
Woo!
No, wow. So, better, you gotta be committed. There are false doctrines today.
Yeah.
Are you there, man? There are people twisting the word of God today. For example, all you have to do is pray these things. You you want to be saved? Do this. God, come into my life right now. Forgive me of my sins. Amen. Congratulations, you are now a Christian. We extend you the open arm of fellowship.
Nope.
I'm sorry, can you please show me that scripture in the Bible? Show me where it says prayer to be saved. Show me where it says pray a prayer to be saved. It is not there. But it does say in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. People like to say, miraculous gifts are still present today. They still call themselves apostles. Apostles? Apostles was an office given by Jesus. To the 12. How dare you call yourself an apostle? Who are you to call yourself an apostle? So I want to stand back a little bit from you when you try to do that nonsense. No, we gotta have deep conviction. They say we have miraculous gifts. Why are you not in the hospital healing everyone? Why are you on the streets healing everyone? That is what the apostles did in Luke 9. Everywhere they went, they were healing people. How dare you call yourself an apostle? How dare you say, I have miraculous gifts of God?
Wow.
The miraculous gifts were to confirm the spoken word. Because they didn't have the written word. So God allowed the miraculous gifts to go on until we have the whole written word. 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know your Bible? Or can a false prophet come and twist scriptures and you don't know it anymore? And fool you and deceive you? Does 2 Thessalonians say miraculous gifts and signs will what? Will deceive those who are perishing.
Wow.
Shall we look? Don't let me hear what you said. What does the Bible say? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it. I didn't give up a medical career. My wife didn't give up her law degree to come and teach the gospel. That's not everybody else. We came to teach the truth. We're in a world of false doctrine. That is why my dear friend said he was here today. National church in Malawi, with over 300 people that I need to come and study about with you. What does the Bible say here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? The Bible reads in verse 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the word of Satan. Didn't we just talk about Satan?
Right.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the word of Satan, displayed in all kinds of what? Counterfeit, miracles, wonders, and signs, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish why? Because they refuse to love the truth. And so he says. For this reason, God sends him a powerful delusion. persecution is going to happen. If you're a Christian and you're not being persecuted, there's something a little wrong. There could be something a lot wrong. I'm not saying you gotta go looking for persecution. But you know, when we're at the Domino's, you know, by the way, we meet Domino's Thursday, 7 p.m. Lucky Phase 1, Lucky Phase 1, we've been getting drama, man. But we're like, we pay, we get our pizza, and we pay the money to be here. And we stood up to the managers, and now. But sometimes we're like, you want us to leave? What do you want? I pay for this food! Yeah. I can't afford it to do like that. I paid 5,000 naira for this food, for this pizza, and the drinks and all this food that I'm getting for our group. I paid for this. We're here for 1 hour and we leave. I see your people. I see people sitting around here doing nothing. Having business meetings. And you're coming over here trying to disturb and harass us. I'm a customer here. Sorry. Stand up for yourself.
That's right.
Stop being cowardly. You're a Christian. Act like one.
Yeah.
You know, persecution is going to happen.
That's right.
I appreciate my brother Kit. You know, he used to tell us different things that happened to him over the years. The mother of a disciple came to church with a gun in her hand. At a conference they had in Boston, yeah, there was a sniper in the audience. The father of the first disciple in Moscow to get converted. Remember, they went over there tonight at the Moscow mission team. I think they had something like 800 baptisms. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And in a year, it's like ridiculous. They just totally left. The father, who was the general of the first disciple in Moscow being baptized, this woman, he threatened to kill him. A general's daughter threatened to kill him in Cairo. He was there for 3 months. A bullet, and this happened recently, a bullet was put into the contribution at a service in our new movement. A far away kingdom kid threatened to kill him.
Wow.
Guys, I've had my persecution too, but I haven't had any people try to kill me. I just gotta raise it up a notch. Hey, I think girl, things will happen. But family, I kid you not. You know, right now we're small. I wait for the day when we're 3,000.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Amen.
But you know, family, you know, even recently, our dear brother Ishioma was gone after. Gone after by false teachers. And the sad thing is, when I found out who the guy was, I'm like, this guy said, what? I have this guy in my house.
Wow.
He is walking over to our house. For a holiday event. I sat down with this guy. I was sharing my faith with him. He didn't share with me. I was with him. And he could not answer my questions about the Holy Spirit. And now he's trying to now found out that Ishioma was going to God's church here. And now he's trying to be a snake and weasel mouse.
Wow.
I prayed for him. I was like, bro, is that, yeah, I sent him a picture. That's the guy. I just saw this guy getting a smoothie the other day. I was warm with him, shared with him, didn't say anything about negative or anything. Now all of a sudden, when he talks to one of the little lambs, oh, cold persecution, this issue, I'm like, man, people can be two-faced.
Yeah.
Can be very two-faced. I tell you one thing, family, you have my heart.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth, this is the way it is. You don't like it, I'll tell you the truth. I'll show you the word of God. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about me being two-faced. You ready to see my life?
Come on.
We're going to have years together. Amen. Taking a stand.
Right.
You know, people read the internet and say, ah, oh, you're church, man. I said, call this, call that, call this, call that. You want to talk about those? You want to talk about those? Let's talk about some fraternities. And you, let's talk about some groups here. You want to talk about cults? We're calling people to obey the word of God, not the cults. What a joke is that?
Yeah.
So we go over to the cult of people going out and doing triple X parties over by or doing all this nonsense juju. Should we call that a cult too?
Yeah.
You should. You see, people will go online and read all this nonsense on the internet, and they act as if it's true. I'm like, hold on a second. Have you ever been to a service? Have you ever met me or met a kid or sat down for coffee or even offered me anything? But now you're going to believe what someone wrote on the internet more than coming out of the church and seeing it for yourself. How ignorant do you need to be? And how weak-willed do you need to believe something you don't even experience yourself?
Wow.
You see, that's the thing. God will make it clear who's strong, who's not.
Yeah.
Well done, Shimon. He's good. Careful, ignorant, fearful, and weak people will fall prey to persecution.
That's right.
And I ask you again, 1 Timothy 3:12, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
That's right.
Turn. Don't let people do this. Everyone, I'm going to go down here in just a second. What does the Bible say here? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. What does it say? 10 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Come on, come over here. What does the Bible say? In fact! So, what does in fact mean?
In fact.
Okay, let me get you a one. In fact means in fact. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life. See, sometimes you just want to live a life. You don't actually want to live a godly life. Some people just want to be saved. They don't actually want to save others.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? These people who come baptized today have not just come to be saved. They come to save others.
Yes.
I am here. If you want to live a godly life, then that means you're going to have an impact on other people's lives.
Yes.
And when you have an impact on other people's lives, some people are going to love you and some people are going to hate you.
Yes.
I am here. The Bible reads, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. Take care of them. Good to see you. I'm coming for more. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So why are people persecuted? Because they're deceived. Because they think that what they think is right is very sad. Are you living a godly life? If Jesus were to live your life, would you have gotten persecuted to the point of going to the cross? Let's take a look and close out the last passage here. Go back to Luke 4. Family, it's not. It's time to get the persecution here in Lagos. But you know what the good news is? When you get persecution, you know what happens?
More people come.
What is that persecution? What is this? My dear, what is going on here? People want to know what's causing all this stuff. I'll tell you one thing: Nigerians love gossip. What's going on? I want to know. They want to know. Let them know. And let them hear the word of God.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 4. Let's look at what it says here. You know, to be a disciple sometimes is a lonely life, and that's the last point. The lonely liberator. Luke 4, verse 31. Let's look at what it says here.
Come on, bro.
They went down to Capernaum, but not in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had what?
Authority.
Did you believe with all your heart that you've been given authority by God to teach? That's what we're trying to put into you for those who are doing the first principles class. We're trying to put authority into you. By knowing it and learning how to teach it, it gives you confidence and it gives you that authority of God. It goes on and says, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon and evil spirit. Now, that's interesting because that means that the demon was in the synagogue. The demon was in the church.
Wow.
Now I'm going to leave that one alone for another time.
Come on.
He was possessed by a demon and evil spirit. He cried out in someone's voice. Ha! Somebody else Bible put that into. Ha! What do you want with us? Jesus of Nazareth. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, she said sternly. Come on! Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out!" And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Okay, let's stop here. Jesus is now focused on one man with an evil spirit. And I think in a lot of ways, family, I believe with all my heart, I've dealt with some evil spirits here today.
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart. You know why? There are people that are tormented by demons of lust, pride, deceit, anger, greed. You've been dealing with suffering. Amen? And it's the Word of God that ties demons up. I don't claim to be awesome. I'm just an effective teacher with the Word of God. Amen? But you know what's interesting? I always wondered, why did Jesus always say, "Be quiet!" when he talked to the demons? Do you ever wonder why he did that? He does that often. Do you ever wonder why he did that? Like, why would he tell the demon to be quiet? Right? Check this out. He tells the demons to be quiet because Jews considered everything that demons said to be a lie. So, it's interesting because they thought, if the demon is talking, he's lying. So, if the demon said, "We know who you are, the Holy One of God," people think, maybe he's not. Maybe he is from Satan. You get what I'm saying here? Be quiet! Right? He's rebuking them for that and for that, right? He's called with authority and power. You know, a lot of people come up here and they're better speakers than I am. They've done a whole bunch of things, spoken to 10,000 of thousands. But at the end of the day, Jesus spoke with authority and power and integrity.
Amen.
Anyone who comes up here and doesn't share their life, doesn't share their weaknesses, their sins. You know, I appreciate it, even Tony coming up here and saying, "Listen, God, forgive us for my lust, my pride, my deceit, my anger." Church, you know I confess my sins every week to you.
Come on.
But at the same time, you got to speak with power.
Yes.
You got to speak with authority. You got to call people to go do something. Very often, ministers will not tell people what they need to do because they're afraid that when contribution times will come, they don't want to give. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me just let you know. This is not my church. I tell them, this is not my church. I don't get paid from this church. Just in case you're wondering. No. I got paid from a missionary fund, which means that, guess what? It doesn't matter to me whether what you give. That's between you and God.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What you give doesn't concern me. It concerns you, though.
That's right.
Yeah. If you want the church to be built and do great things, then your investment will be shown for what it is.
That's right. Yeah.
I really do.
Come on, bro.
But there's this quote by President Lincoln. He said he went to go hear this sermon by his dad, Dr. Gurley. And his secret agent comes up to him and says, "President Lincoln, what did you think of the sermon?" And Lincoln says, "You know, it was thought provoking. It was powerfully delivered. But it fails. It failed to ask anything greater of me." You see, a lot of people say, "Oh, prosperity, life, and go back to the fullest." But they don't challenge you to repent. They don't challenge you to live a holy life. They don't ask you to do anything great. They just want to tell you how much money you can get if you give money to the place.
Yeah.
Are you with me here, family?
Right.
And so we got to have deep convictions. We got to make sure that we take a stand for the truth. You know, take a look at Matthew 15 with me. We'll close that back to you. This is a scripture that really helped me a lot when it came time to deal with people. Take a look at what the Bible says here in Matthew 15. Matthew 15 is starting verse 7. What does Jesus say here? Matthew 15, is everyone there?
Yep.
Have I lost you? Are you too tired? Remember now, all those Bible talks went, so I had to make sure I got my time.
Come on.
Matthew 15, verse 7 says, "You hypocrites." Yeah. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in..." Their teachings are rules taught by men.
Yeah.
Praying gives it to your heart, writing this, all that stuff. That's teaching by men, guys. Mm-hmm. And people love it.
Yeah,
it goes down in verse 12. Look what it says next. "Then the disciples came to him and asked
Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? You know, some of you are like, did you know that guy in the back was offended when you said that? Let's see what Jesus said next. He replied, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. What? Did I offend him?
No.
I'm serious. You know, I'm going to him right now and prostrate myself before him in a
moment.
Is that what it says?
No.
What does it say? He replied, every plant that my father, Heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guys. If a blind man meets a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Do you just agree what I just read? Guys, Jesus is just calling out the remnant right here. Leave them. False doctrine churches, leave them. They are blind. And they will lead you into the pit of hell. Does that offend you?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're offended, then you're offended by the truth. Valerie, we got to have deep convictions. And we got to speak the truth with authority. Let's get back to Luke again. Amen? Luke chapter 4. Let's slow down here.
Come on, girl.
See, people didn't think I had Jesus, man. He laid it out. And we got to have the same conviction. With respect. With love. But don't you dare hold back on the truth.
Amen?
Because you know what? People who may be coming out today may be the last time they ever hear the message. They can jump into a bus and turn over and die today. And you'll be thinking, oh, I wish I had said so and so and so and so. And it's too late. Luke chapter 4, let's close out. Verse 38. The Bible reads, Jesus left synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law, oh, there it is again. Who's Simon? He has a mother-in-law, which means what? Anyone here Catholic? This is for you. Let's try to help you. If you come from a Catholic background, here's a classic example of a Catholic false teaching. They say that what? Peter did not marry. Sorry? The first pope did not marry. Are you with me here? So, what's interesting here, of course, is that Peter is the first woman that you see here, Peter didn't marry. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. They asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever and left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. And he said, you know what? I am tired. It's been a long day. You ever get tired?
Yes.
After a long day. You know, I appreciate everybody here who has a full-time job and then goes out to share their faith. Build the kingdom and build the Bible.
Yeah.
I promise. I am very proud. And then now come again and say, let's give him the battle for souls. Well done. Proud of you. The Bible goes on. It says here, he laid his hands in each one and he healed them. Moreover, the demons came out of many people saying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and not allowed them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. You know, Jesus' schedule was packed with preaching all day. And he also was willing to get his hands dirty and lay his hands on sick people. That's really cool. I mean, Jesus could have been like, you're healed. But what did he do?
He touches the personal care.
I remember. Okay? So he just touched people. Shows just the kind of love and how every person is important to God. You know, Jesus' schedule was packed, and he stayed up late, but he was up before daybreak.
Yep.
You know, I know Salani was up with the brothers here, studying with Chigozi early morning. And then, it was funny, because they were studying until like 3:45 in the morning.
Wow.
Thank God for daybreak.
again to go finish out the study. Then he was with me now again where the study was going to be last night. Then he was up again to go help you with his money. Well done, boy. Somebody didn't last that long, but that's okay. You get it back.
Amen.
But spending time with God is how Jesus received his strength.
That's true.
He was mortal, and so power came out of him when he healed people. Amen. Mm-hmm. And we all get tired when we pour ourselves out.
That's right.
But the solution is to spend time with God, not to sleep in.
That's true.
Let me say it again. The solution is to spend time with God, not to sleep in. Mm-hmm. Family, that's how he changed the world. Since at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. After all that night, he replied, "Oh, you know what? I'm sorry.
Did I offend him? I'm serious. You know, I'll go to him right now and prostrate myself before him and apologize."
Is that what it says?
No.
What does it say? He replied, "Every plant that my Father, Heavenly Father, has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." Leave them. They are blind guys. If a blind man leaves a blind man, both will fall into a pit. And they'll lead you into the pit of hell. Does that offend you?
Mm.
Because if you're offended, then you're offended by the truth. Family, we got to have deep convictions. And we got to speak the truth with authority. Let's get back to Luke and Acts. Amen? Luke chapter 4. Let's close it on out here. See, people didn't forget Jesus, man. He laid it out. And we gotta have the same conviction. With respect. With love. But don't you dare hold back on the truth. Because you know what? People who may be coming on today may be the last time they ever hear the message. They can jump into a bus and turn over and die today. And you'll be thinking, "Oh, I wish I had said so and so and so and so." And it's too late. Luke chapter 4, let's close out. Verse 38. The Bible reads, "Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon." Now Simon's mother-in-law, there it is again. Who's Simon?
Pizza.
He has a mother-in-law, which means what?
He's married.
Anyone here Catholic? This is for you. I'm just trying to help you. If you come from a Catholic background, here's a classic example of Catholic false teaching. They say that what? Peter did not marry. Sorry? The first pope did not marry. Are you with me here? So, what's interesting here, of course, they think Peter is the first pope, and now you see here, Peter did marry. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. They asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever and it left her. She got her once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. And he said, "You know what? I am tired. It's been a long day." You ever get tired?
Yeah.
After a long day. You know, I appreciate everybody here who has a full-time job and then goes out to share their faith.
Aww.
And build God's kingdom and build the Bible.
Yeah.
I am proud. And then now come again and say, "Let's get into the battle for souls." Well done. Proud of you. The Bible goes on. It says here, he laid his hands on each one and he healed them. Moreover, the demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. You know, Jesus' schedule was packed with preaching all day. And he also was willing to get his hands dirty and lay his hands on sick people. That's really difficult. I mean, Jesus could have been like, "You're healed." But what does he do?
He touches the personal care.
Are you with me? Okay? So to touch people shows just the kind of love and how every person is important to God.
Awesome.
You know, Jesus' schedule was packed and he stayed up late, but he was up before daybreak.
Yep.
You know, I know Talani was up with the brothers here studying with Chigozi early morning.
Wow.
And then it was funny because they were studying until like 3:45 in the morning.
Wow.
Then he got up again to go finish off the study. Then he was with me now again with us. We're studying with Botu last night. Then he was up again to go help Chigozi. I mean, well done, Talani. That's okay. You came back.
Amen.
Right. But spending time with God is how Jesus received his strength.
That's true.
He was mortal. And so power came out of him when he healed people. Amen.
Amen.
And we all get tired when we pour ourselves out.
That's right.
But the solution is to spend time with God, not to sleep in.
That's true.
Let me say that again. The solution is to spend time with God, not to sleep in. Family, that's how we change the world. To the daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. After all that nature. Let's see what the Bible says now. Deuteronomy 6:16. It says, do not test the Lord your God as you did at
Massa.
Well, what happened at Massa? Well, of course you know. Massa is where the Israelites were given manna.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, is this it? They started to complain. You ever start to complain with life?
Yeah.
You ever start to grumble and complain?
Yeah.
And God said, oh, I'm bringing food from the heavens for you to eat. And you want to complain and whine? Okay. And you know what happened next, right? When do you start to complain and whine and grumble? Whenever you start to do that in your heart, you stop getting grateful, guess what happens?
Yeah.
You start looking at that line of sin. You start thinking, I don't know. Maybe my salvation and being part of the kingdom is not enough. Maybe I should go back to the world and see what I can get there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you start testing. You start allowing people to look at you. You start allowing yourself, your character starts to go down. Are you with me here now?
Yeah.
Guys, you gotta watch it. You gotta be grateful for what God has given us. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, out of these three, which one are you?
Mom, bro.
Because the Bible reads, go back to Luke, look what happens next. Because you think, oh, okay, well, Jesus got him the testing, right? So now he's good to go. Look what the Bible says next. Verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he went home and left Jesus alone.
Oh.
Is that what it says? No, what does it say? He left him until an opportune time. I will be back.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the enemy is. He's coming back. But the good news is if we walk in step with the Spirit and obey the word of God, we're good to go.
Yeah.
That's the good news, family. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And so, in the same way, Jesus was the Messiah, but he was a mortal Messiah, just like us.
Yeah.
He got weak, just like us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, this is the answer. This is the secret to beating Satan's temptations.
Mm-hmm.
Responding with Scripture. Do you know your Bible?
Come on.
First Principles class, onto maturities class, Wednesday nights. Guys, I'm very proud of you. You've been doing a very good job.
Yeah.
You're studying hard, doing well in your exams. I'm very proud of you. If you're a guest today, trust me, you can sit down with people in this room and they can teach you the Bible.
That's right.
And we're all united in what we believe and have deep convictions.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Come on.
Jesus overcame all temptations, was victorious over Satan, and we can too. Amen, family?
Amen.
Okay, second point. The radical revolutionary. The radical revolutionary. Let's take a look at what Jesus did next. You know, sometimes people think Jesus, you know, you ever heard that quote, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Maybe. Amen.
It's okay. The point of it is that if you don't start something, right, nothing will pop off, right?
Right.
But Jesus was a revolutionary. Jesus wanted to stir things up.
Wow.
Jesus was not some like, oh,
amen.
verse 14. The Bible reads, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught the synagogues, and everyone praised him. Okay, well, that's good news. This is essentially to the devil of Judea ministry here. He's teaching in their synagogues. And remember, the synagogue system began during the Babylonian exile because the temple was torn down. Right? Now, what's interesting, the Galilean ministry. What's interesting about this is that the synagogue system began because of the whole Babylonian exile, the temple's torn down. And so each synagogue actually faced toward Jerusalem. Right? So they could remember the temple. Right? And it's interesting. The men sat on one side, and the women sat on the other side. That's what happened in synagogues back in the whole Jewish system. Right? And so what that represented was an equal, that both men and women were equal heirs to God. Is that awesome right there?
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
That's right.
Because in culture today, sometimes it's like, even though women understand that their role may be different, is to submit to the husband, amen?
Amen.
Amen, sisters?
Amen.
That doesn't mean we're any less precious.
Amen. All right.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, amen.
That is awesome. We need to have a powerful women's ministry in the church, amen?
Yeah.
The women don't lead the men. The women can lead the sisters, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But sadly, you got to be careful, because sometimes men can end up being like Adam and let Eve lead them.
Come on.
That is one of the most painful. I mean, that was really the first sin in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Men not leading.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's a whole other
problem. Come on,
bro. Well, the Bible goes on. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Now, this is really cool because, of course, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61.
That's right.
Jesus was always preaching the Word. He was the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
He is the Word. But what's really interesting is that the Bible says how gracious words came from his lips. Funny enough, he doesn't include what Isaiah 62 says. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, Jesus actually left out the last line for this purpose, which was actually condemning. In Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, the last line says, "To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God."
Yeah.
So he was just, trying to be encouraging right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's nice. But let's see what happens next. Verse 23. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do you hear in your hometown what we heard that you did in Capernaum?'" I tell you the truth here, he continued to me. "No prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there was many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Okay, let's stop here.
All right.
Wow.
What did Jesus just do? He started to pop something off.
He really did.
He's about to start something.
Amen.
What did he just start? What is he saying? Right? He's saying here, Elijah was sent to a widow in a Gentile area, this place called Sidon, right? Elisha was, Naaman the Syrian came to him. Who was Naaman? And also a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so what's interesting is that both of these Gentiles were able to be saved. This is huge, guys. So literally, and then he talks about the widow. Not only was she a Gentile, she was a woman.
Right.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's saying here, women are equal. Then he starts talking about Gentiles. So you can, not only are women are equal heirs of God, but that, hold on a second, Gentiles can be saved too?
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Would you say that's a revolutionary message?
Yeah.
This is huge, man. So let's see how these upright religious people respond. Verse 28. All the people that stood out were what?
Furious.
Furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff.
Wow.
But he walked right to the crowd and went on his way.
Wow.
Guys, you know what? This is encouraging to me because you don't have to be afraid. Nobody's going to touch you until you've completed your role in Jesus' revolution.
Right.
I agree with you. You're not going to die until God's purpose for you has been fulfilled.
Amen.
I am with me here. Hey, it's so good to have Matope with us here today from the DPC area. And there's a woman here. Remember we talked about Desi going in his area and going back and meeting the woman to go to the hospital? She is here with us today. You're very welcome. To help you.
Right.
We're very honored to have you here with us today.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is huge. And so, persecution and death threats were, was this the end of Jesus' ministry or the beginning?
The beginning.
This is chapter 4. He just started his first sermon to the synagogue.
Wow.
And already, kill him! I gotta ask you a question. Are you afraid of offending people?
Wow.
Because I think your definition of Christianity may never have led Jesus to the cross. Your definition of Christianity would not have led to that. Now don't get me wrong, we need to speak with love and with tact and with respect. 1 Peter 3:15.
Yeah.
But we need to preach the word of God.
Amen. That's right.
And I think when we now start to like not say things that need to be said because you're afraid of what people are going to say, you stop being a messenger. You stop being a vessel for God to speak through completely, and you now start, hold on a second, you now start filtering what God wants to say.
Wow.
Because in your mind, you think you know better.
Woo! Wow.
Family, we gotta have deep conviction. There are false doctrines today.
Yeah.
Are you with me here, man? Yes. There are people twisting the word of God today. For example, all you have to do is pray Jesus' prayer. You want to be saved? Do this. God, come into my life right now. Forgive me of my sins. Amen. Congratulations, you are now a Christian.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. We send you the open arm of fellowship.
Nope.
I'm sorry, can you please show me that scripture in the Bible?
Yeah.
Show me where it says pray a prayer to be saved.
Yeah.
Show me where it says pray a prayer to be saved. It is not there. But it does say, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what it's about. Before people come, be baptized today. Guys, we gotta have deep conviction. People like to say, miraculous gifts are still present today. They still call themselves apostles. Apostles? Apostle was an office given by Jesus.
Yes.
To the 12. How dare you call yourself an apostle? Who are you to call yourself an apostle? I want to stand back a little bit from you when you try to do that nonsense. No, we gotta have deep conviction here. They say that we have miraculous gifts. Miraculous gifts? Why are you not in the hospital healing everyone? Why are you on the streets healing everyone? That is what the apostles did in Luke 9. The miraculous gifts were to confirm the spoken word.
Absolutely. That's right.
Because they didn't have the written word. So God allowed the miraculous gifts to go on until we have the whole written word. 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know your Bible? Or can a false prophet come and twist scriptures and say you don't know it anymore? And fool you and deceive you? Does the 2 Thessalonians say miraculous gifts and signs will what? Will deceive those who are perishing. Shall we look? Don't just let me just give you scriptures. Let's take a look. What does the Bible say? 2 Thessalonians chapter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it.
Come on,
I didn't give up a medical career. My wife didn't give up her law degree to come and teach the gospel. That's like everybody else. We came to teach the truth.
Yeah.
In a world of false doctrine. That is why my dear friend Stephen was here today.
Found out that Ishioma
was going to God's church here, and now tried to be a snake and weasel him out.
Wow.
I prayed for him. I was like, bro, is that God? I sent him a picture and said, that's the guy. I just saw this guy getting a smoothie the other day. I was warm with him, shared with him, didn't say anything about negative or anything to me. Now all of a sudden, when he talks to one of the little lambs, oh, cold persecution, this issue, I'm like, I'm hand. People can be two-faced.
Yeah.
You can be very two-faced. I'll tell you one thing, family, you have my heart.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth, this is where it is. You don't like it, but I'll tell you the truth. I'll show you the word of God. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about me being two-faced. You can already see my life.
Come on.
We've been here 2.5 years together. Amen, family. Taking a stand. Right. Because you know, people read the internet and say, ah, oh, your church now is a cult, this, cult, that, cult, this, cult, that. You want to talk about cults?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about cults?
Yes, let's do it. Bro.
Let's talk about some fraternities.
Okay.
And U.S., let's talk about some groups here.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about cults? Yeah. We're calling people to obey the word of God, not the cults. What a joke is that?
Yeah.
Shall we go over to the cult of people going out and doing triple X parties over by or doing all this nonsense juju? Shall we call that a cult too?
Yeah.
You should. You see, people will go online and read all this nonsense on the internet and they act as if it's true. I'm like, hold on a second. Have you ever been to a service? Have you ever met me or met a kid or sat down for coffee or even offered me anything? But now you're going to believe what someone wrote on the internet more than coming out to church and seeing it for yourself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How ignorant do you need to be? And how weak-willed do you need to be to believe something you don't even experience yourself?
Wow.
You see, that's the thing. God will make it clear who's strong who's not.
Yeah.
Well done, Yeshua. You still ignorant, fearful, and weak people will fall prey to persecution.
That's right.
And I ask you again, 1 Timothy 3:12, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
That's right.
Turn. Don't let me just read it to you. And we're going to close that here in just a second. What does the Bible say here? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. What does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Come on, turn with me now. What does the Bible say? In fact. So what does in fact mean?
In fact.
Okay, just in case you were wondering. In fact means in fact. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life. See, sometimes you just want to live a life. You don't actually want to live a godly life. Some people just want to be saved. They don't actually want to save others. You get what I'm saying? These four who come baptized today have not just come to be saved, they come to save others.
Yes.
I am here. If you want to live a godly life, then that means you're going to have an impact in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And when you have an impact in other people's lives, some people are going to love you and some people are going to hate you.
Yeah.
I am here.
Yes.
The Bible reads, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. Take care. Love you guys. Good to see you. I'm coming for more. While evil men and apostles will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So why do people persecute? Because they're deceived. Because they think that what they think is right. It's very sad. Are you living a godly life? If Jesus were to live your life, would he have gotten persecuted to the point of going to the cross? Let's take a look and close out the last passage here. Go back to Luke 4.
Come on, Andrew.
Family, it's time. It's time to get some persecution here in Lagos. But you know what the good news is? When you get persecution, you know what happens?
More people come.
What is this persecution? What is this? My kid just said, what is this? What is going on here? People want to know. What's causing all this stuff? I'll tell you one thing. Nigerians love gossip. They love, what's going on? What's going on? I want to know. They want to know. Let's let them come. And let them hear the word of God. Luke chapter 4. Let's see what the Bible says here.
My brother.
disciple sometimes is a lonely life. And that's the last point. The lonely liberator. Luke 4, verse 31. Let's see what the Bible says here.
Come on, bro.
They went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had what?
Authority.
Do you believe with all your heart that you've been given authority by God to teach?
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to put into you for those who are doing the first principles class. Mm-hmm. We're trying to put authority into you. By knowing it and learning how to teach it, it gives you confidence and it gives you that authority of God. It goes on and says, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon and evil spirit. Now, that's interesting because that means that the demon was in the synagogue. The demon was in the church.
Wow.
Now I'm going to leave that one alone for another couple.
Come on.
He was possessed by a demon and evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, ha! Somebody out of the Bible put that into. Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus says, turning. Come out of there. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All people were amazed and said to each other, what is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Okay, let's stop here. Jesus now focused on one man with an evil spirit. And I think in a lot of ways, family, I believe with all my heart, I've dealt with some evil spirits here at Angels.
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart. You know why? There are people that are tormented by demons of lust, pride, deceit, anger, greed. Yeah. You're dealing with stuff that's
right.
Amen? And it's the word of God that drives demons up.
Yeah.
I don't claim to be omnipotent. I'm this effective teacher with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what's interesting? I always wondered, why did Jesus always say, be quiet, when he talked to the demon? Do you ever wonder why he did that? He does that often. Do you ever wonder why he did that? Like, why would he tell the demon to be quiet? Right? Check this out. He tells the demon to be quiet because Jews considered everything that demons said to be a lie. So, it's interesting because they thought, if the demon's talking, he's lying. So, if the demon said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God, people think, maybe he's not. Maybe he is from Satan. You get what I'm saying here?
Wow.
Be quiet! Right? He's rebuking them for that and for that too, right?
Wow.
He taught with authority and you know, a lot of people come up to here and they're better speakers than I am. They've done a whole bunch of things, spoken to 10,000 upon thousands. But at the end of the day, Jesus spoke with authority and power and integrity.
Amen.
Anyone who comes up here and doesn't share their life, doesn't share their weaknesses, their sins, you know, I appreciated even Tony coming up here and saying, listen, God forgive us for my lust, my pride, my deceit, my anger. Church, you know I confess my sins every week to you.
Come on.
But at the same time, we gotta speak with power.
Yeah, right.
We gotta speak with authority. You gotta call people to go do something. Very often, ministries will not tell people what they need to do because they're afraid that when contribution times will come, they don't want to give.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Let me just let you know. This is not my church. I tell us everyone, this is not my church. I don't get paid from this church. Just in case you're wondering. No. I get paid from missionary fund. Which means that, guess what? It doesn't matter to me whether what you give. That's between you and God.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What you give doesn't concern me. It concerns you, though.
That's right.
And if you want this church to be built and to do great things, then your investment will be shown for what it is.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you with me
here? Come on, bro.
But there's this quote by President Lincoln. He said he went to go hear this sermon by this guy, Dr. Burley. And the secret agent comes up to him and says, President Lincoln, what did you think of the sermon? And Lincoln says, you know, it was thought-provoking. It was powerfully delivered. But it failed. It failed to ask anything greater of me. You see, a lot of people tell you, oh, prosperity, life, enjoy life.
challenge you to repent.
Yeah.
They don't challenge you to live a holy life. They don't ask you to do anything great. They just want to tell you how much money you can get if you give money to the place.
Yeah.
Are you with me here, Pastor?
All right.
And so we got to have deep conviction. We got to make sure that we take a stand for the truth. You know, take a little break. Matthew 15 with me. And then we'll close that back in Luke. This is a scripture that really helped me a lot when it came time to deal with people. Take a look at what the Bible says here in Matthew 15.
Come on, bro.
Matthew 15, starting in verse 7. What does Jesus say here? Matthew 15, is everyone there?
Yep.
Have I lost you? Are you too tired?
No, come on, bro.
Remember now, all the Bible talks went, so I had to make sure I got my time.
Yeah. Come on.
Matthew 15, verse 7 says, you hypocrites!
Yeah.
Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in
vain.
Their teachings are our rules taught by men.
Yeah.
Praying just into your heart, righteousness, and all that stuff. That's teaching by men, guys. And people love it.
Yeah,
it goes down in verse 12. Look what it says next. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? You know, some of you are like, Andrew, did you know that guy in the back was offended when you said that? Let's see what Jesus says next.